Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins are on later. That means Tech Talk at our normal time today. How about that? We are getting started. Doug Swindhart is joining us. And here's the number if you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever. Feel free to call the program today. Once again, we're on the air until 3 o'clock. And we invite you to get through right now because we inevitably get to the end of the program and we run out of time for all the calls and texts. Here is the number, Cities 1 Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug, always good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a nice day today and things are going well.
Yeah. Good to visit with you. Thanks again for joining us here on the program today. Once again, Doug will be in until 3 o'clock. Here's a good one from a gamer. Doug, what's causing some CPUs to get bottlenecked while playing video games? What could be the cause of that?
Chances are it has to do with its bandwidth, but it could be a whole myriad of things. With video games and online gaming, it's absolutely critical that all the components in your computer are timed properly. And sometimes people go out and they'll buy a video card and it's just too fast for the computer, or there isn't enough RAM, or it possibly could be running at a different temperature, which will make it react differently as well. Any number of things. Could be a low power supply, but generally gamers are quite knowledgeable about hardware. At least it doesn't take them very long before they get there. But I'd say, right off the top of my head, probably has more to do with the amount of bandwidth that they have and how it's actually provisioned through his router. People don't realize that you can actually provision a router so specific users get more bandwidth during specific times of day. There's a lot of things that you can do to increase that and make it better. But chances are it has to do with, could be the other end too, could be the server on the other side. It's difficult to track, but keep at it. It'll work for you. It's good that they're into this. I like hearing this.
Yeah, it is amazing. We bought an Xbox, a new one, a little while back. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the model number. I guess it doesn't matter. The latest and the greatest. I don't particularly like to play video games. Never really have. But my wife does. These are amazing pieces of equipment. They are very capable. We have talked about it before, but if you think what gamers and my daughters, you know, they're both grown, but love to play games and love to play video games. It is amazing technology, what they're able to do and game with other people wherever they are around the country or, for that matter, around the world in real time. This is really cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And if people stop and consider the amount of traffic on the internet, yeah, these high-def graphics, you know, every dot on those screens are flipping through the internet, going to every other computer that's yep. connected to that server, updating instantly. It's phenomenal. It's absolute. You know, all around us today, Steve, technology is just so far advanced. And most people, you know, we kind of take it for granted. We say, well, you know, we expect everything to be perfect. But it is really, really complex today. I'm really, really quite amazed at what's taken place over the last 25, 30 years. But in the gaming area especially. And that has to do with the graphics and the speed that is required, especially to be playing online games when you're shooting them up and bang-bang and all that kind of stuff. It's phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. I think that that mankind has really outdone himself here with this. I'm really, really impressed.
Yeah, it really is a great streaming appliance as well. You know, it's my daughter's 20s, early 30s, and the way they consume video is completely different. They're literally monitors, and they use their Xbox to stream, you know, whatever they choose, movies or other television shows that way. And the Xbox is an outstanding streaming platform as well, so it's worth considering going forward if you want a very robust streaming platform. All the gaming devices are. I know Sony still has a PlayStation, and then, of course, Microsoft and the Xbox is top-notch. Let's get to it, to the phone lines, and Bill in Minneapolis is up first. Bill, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, Doug. See, I've got a
Canon Pixma.
I have a Canon Pixma, and I can copy labels on that. On a top cover, I can copy if something's already been photographed, and it'll come through with the black ink. But when I try to copy from my printer, the paper goes through, but I don't get any ink on the paper.
Well, this copying from the computer is a little bit unique. If you're on a web page, it depends on what you're in as far as the program. But if you hit, like, Control P, it should bring you up a preview page. If you get that preview page and you're not getting print, that's an issue. That's there's something way out of whack at that point, especially if you're not getting an error in Windows. But I think that perhaps you're sending up a page feed, but not the print itself. Generally speaking, if you're going to print a copy, you will print it to like a PDF, and it'll still come out your printer. But it probably has something to do with your settings. But you can print normally, though. If you open up a word processor, you can print that doc, right?
Yes.
Give me a call next week, and I'll connect up to you remotely, and we'll take a peek at what you got going on. It's probably quick and easy, a couple minutes. Won't take long at all. A lot of people have had some difficulty because of the changes in their email and how that prints. A lot of people like to print out their emails, and, well, they might be getting a blank page, or they might be getting a print that shows all of the email headers instead of the actual email they wanted to print. It's probably quite simple. Give me a call, and we'll get you taken care of.
All right. Good luck with that. Doug, is this one of those where you're having problems with the functionality where you may want to just do a clean install, where you may want to remove that printer and start over?
Well, you know, he's got print from his word processor, so that probably tells me he can get a test page. So I'm thinking it's more just a little bit of user education, probably more than anything.
All right. That sounds good. Here is a good one, and this is from our text line. By the way, you can reach the program via the phone or send a text. Cities 1 Plumbing Talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And from our text line, what's your preferred method of sending high-resolution JPEGs over the Internet? When I send via email, they get reduced. There are options here. Doug, I'll let you go first.
Well, you know, here's where an online storage really pays, especially if you're sending to multiple people. If you've got Google Drive or iCloud, I know HP's got them, iDrive, there's all kinds of things that you can do. But if you save it up under your cloud account and just send the people a link, and they can download the whole thing automatically if you save it that way, that's really your only option. Today, all mail servers are set up to conserve bandwidth. There's just far too many people sending big files to 6, 8, 10 people. Whereas this way, you can actually put that PDF or that JPEG or whatever it is, even a movie, you can save it up under your Google Drive, and you can do a list of people who you're sharing that with, and you can actually say that they can download it or not, they can view it and edit it or not. And it's simple to work with. Right click on the file and up it comes. And then just send them the link. And they're actually viewing that picture or video as a normal web page now. And that will not be limited by your internet provider, and it's much more conservative on the bandwidth. So it's not sending that whole thing through as a chunk. When you're sending the entire file, that's got to go from one place to the other, where if you're viewing a movie even, that's coming in as a streaming device. So it's trickling in, and it's taking off the overall pressure off the internet. So it's good that you asked this question. I'm really glad that you did. That's a great question, and thank you so much.
Yeah, it is a good one. I have an idea as well. I use it a lot. I work in the printing business during the week, and if we have to move one large file from another, there are a lot of options. There's FTP sites. But a simple one that people can use is a program that I really like. I'm a big believer in it. Works great. It is called WeTransfer, W-E, and then transfer, T-R-A-N-S-F-E-R. And it's really slick. You can use a free version, or I think you can subscribe, etc. But that will allow you to send a large photograph. Say, for instance, you want to send it to someone and you want them to print that or do something with that. That is a great site where you can send big files like a photo, a high-res photo, and that's a great way of doing it. What they do is they get a link and then they download it. So it's
I have to admit to you, I've never heard of that, and I just looked at it. That's an impressive find, Steve. Good work. I just at a glance, they get up to 2 gigabytes for free. I'm sure that if you abuse it, if you're sitting all day sending 2 gigabyte files, they're going to knock on your door and say, maybe you ought to purchase an account, which is fair. But that's a great find on your part. Good work.
Yeah, and I've been using it for a number of years, and we've had clients that maybe weren't able to get the FTP site or something where they can upload files, etc. But this is a good one. If you want to send a big file, that is really a good one. They do really nice work. I've had very good luck over the years. Once again, it is WeTransfer.com. So that's a good idea. Quick break. We'll come back. We've got more with Doug in a moment. We'll talk about Microsoft Windows 11 problems with the browser. Keeps going back to Edge as a default browser. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that and much, much more. Be sure to call if you want to be a part of the program. You're welcome to do it. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart joining us here, and we're typically on the air on Saturdays between 2 and 3 o'clock. And this is all about you and your calls. If you have a question for Doug about your computer or printer, or by all means, feel free to call or text Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, here's a good one. This from someone who's not a fan particularly of Microsoft. Windows 11 keeps defaulting my browser to Edge and search engine to Bing. I prefer Chrome and Google. Why does it keep changing?
Yeah, this is one of the annoyances that I believe has been caused because Microsoft is always encouraging and actually pushing people when they set up their computers to use their Microsoft account to log into their computer so they're online instantly. Now, they're obviously going to settings and accounts or apps and features, and they're resetting their browsers to the default. But they also have to go in to their settings, their accounts, and go underneath their sign-in options and turn off automatically save my restartable apps when I sign out and restart. This is huge. I've run into this I don't know how many times. And really, when you're setting up your computer, if you set up your original login when you first turn on Windows as a local client, so you're just logging onto the computer and keeping the online connection to Microsoft a little bit at arm's length, you will save yourself a ton of issues. And I just think that this is it's just too much control. It's just, I think it's going to do more to drive people away from the Windows platform. That plus the fact that, this is the last version of Windows. Well, now we're coming out with 12 next year and 13 and 14 right after that. And the interesting thing with Windows 12 is a lot of people refer to Windows Server 2012 as Windows 12. It's going to get confusing for even administrators with this one. And that will be coming out, I believe, next year. So keep your hand, keep hang on to your shorts. It's going to get continue to get a little interesting. And they're talking it's going to be much more performance, and I'm not seeing that at all. But this is one of those annoyances that I think is going to cause Microsoft quite a bit off their reputation. It's obvious. They're pushing for you to use that browser, and there's really no reason for that at all. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and you can't blame them because there's money in these browsers and search engines, et cetera. And everyone's fighting for dominance and market share, but you know, as far as search engines go, you know, Google's still the big one.
Well, and you know yourself, Steve, it's human nature. Somebody starts cramming something down your throat, right, you're going to go the other way. It's just, I don't think it's smart business, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, there's no doubt it can be very frustrating. So that is a good one. Here's one about an Epson printer, the EcoTank. My mom and dad have one of these, and they're really slick. Once we got it all set up and the tank's loaded, it's worked really well for them. But from our text line, there's concern when you clean the heads that it does use a lot of ink. And I will say this, in my experience, even on the commercial side, when you're using ink, and a lot, even the commercial printers use a fair amount of ink when they are cleaning the heads and maintaining the heads so they're ready to go.
Yeah, this is true. I think for people who don't print often and they have to clean their heads every time they go to print, this can be a real issue.
Yep.
And you'd be better off to just kick out a piece of paper once in a while. You'd find that you would probably save ink by printing more. It sounds weird, but I think that would be worth trying, especially for these folks.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where those cartridges, if it sits for a time, especially for the snowbirds, et cetera, that leave a printer behind in Arizona or
you
Florida
bet.
Or Texas or wherever, or bring them back, I would almost think that if you're going to leave a printer sit for a long period of time, pop out those cartridges and throw them in a bag. And then when a sandwich bag or whatever. And then when you get back, you know, gently with a lint-free wipe, they sell them now all over the place. You can get the lint-free wipes. Just a little clean water and very gently clean off that head before you install it. All of those things really help. And I mean gently. And lint-free is a big deal or you're going to run into problems. You just can't use a paper towel or whatever.
Interestingly enough, this is actually one of the few complaints I've gotten or I've heard from about the Epson EcoTank. Yeah, people, well, if I'm supposed to be using less ink, and I said the same thing. I said, if you're not going to use them for a long time, take your cartridges out. Set them up vertical like they're sitting in the printer. Put them in a bag. Seal them up. And you might even want to wipe off your heads just a little bit when you take them out. Might not even have to clean them again when you put them in. But if you're not printing at least every other day, this is going to be an issue, no question.
Yeah, and I think they're like automobiles in that way. They're meant to be used, and they run better when they are used. It's like there is a challenge in putting an older car in storage because cars are designed to be operated and are designed to be run. And these printers are designed to be run as well. When they sit for long periods of time, I think that's when you start running into problems. So,
yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, for sure. So if you've got it, now you don't have to print, you know, for the sake of printing every day, but, you know, and that's one of those things I think people need to think about when they buy a lot of equipment. If they don't print a lot, do you really need a printer around the house? You know,
exactly. And this is a good example of where that test page is perfect. Because that test page will give you all four colors, yep. Not a lot, just a little, and zip, and it's out, and it's done. Yeah, just do that every other day. It's probably going to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, they're designed to be run. Here's a good one. I have a Dell Latitude 820 running Linux Mint 32-bit OS. Works great. Linux Mint says they're not supporting the 32-bit OS. Can you recommend a Linux install that is still supported?
Oh, boy, there's a bunch of them out there. I kind of tend to go towards Bondi, B-O-H-N-D-I. There's another one called Sparky that's just awesome. There's a bunch of them. Your best bet is to go to distrowatch.com, D-I-S-T-R-O, short for distribution, I believe, distrowatch.com, DISTROWATCH.com. And that really lists, I believe, almost every spin of Linux that there is. And you can see what the country of origin is, what the basis is. Is it built on Debian? Is it built on Ubuntu? Is it built on FreeBSD? It's a tremendous resource for this kind of thing. Plus, it'll show you where you can download them, give you screenshots of each one. Take your time, pick them, and you'll have a great time on this. I kind of like staying in the U.S. for origin, or France, or Germany, the countries that are more apt to build the base in English. You're better off. Isle of Man, but that's not to say that there isn't a bunch of good ones from Brazil and other places too, because there is. I just tend to stay closer to home. Canada, and Linux Mint, you know, that covers the world. They're actually getting some flack about this. They're talking about maybe bringing back a 32-bit coming up here, but I don't know if they will, because they're putting an awful lot of emphasis on their operating system and their four different desktops. So it's getting interesting at Linux Mint, and I hope that helps.
All right, Doug, quick break. We'll come back. By the way, if you have a computer-related question, that modern printers already today. By all means, feel free to call the program, 651-461-9226. It is our City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. If you call in, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler, our producer extraordinaire. Doug will be back. We'll do the weather in a moment. I haven't had any rain yet. When's it going to rain? We'll get into that in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk. Doug Swindenhart is in. We're on at our normal time today because the Twins and the Tigers play tonight in Detroit. Our pregame show, the lineup card, at 5:30. First pitch after 6:10 tonight. Pablo Lopez on the mound, and all of a sudden the Twins have done a little winning as of late. So the Twins have picked it up and won game one against the Tigers. They'll try and stay on a roll. Once again, they look for another win over the Tigers tonight after salvaging a split in that 10-game homestand. All right, Doug, let's get to the text line. And let's get back to this is a good one. We haven't talked about it, but the texter says, great conversation about printers. I decided to try HP's Instaprint program. But I have no idea how they do it, but it's only $3.99 a month for 50 pages. Makes no difference if full color or black and white. They send cartridges whenever the printer calls for them. I spend $48 a year for 600 prints. They even roll over unused ones, and I could print full color photos for that. I had not heard of that. Sounds like a cool program.
I've never got involved in that, but I know that HP's been pushing it an awful lot of years, and there's a lot of people that take advantage of that if they want, you know, the regular photographs. It's not a bad deal. I mean, it really is. It's a pretty decent deal. I think there's something similar also at Walgreens where you can just take your deals in on a USB and print them right out on a machine at this point, and that's kind of slick as well. So, yeah, there's other places that will do that online too, but I think HP's kind of got that market. That's a good text. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that is a neat program, and I know you can get it set up. I have a Brother printer in my office that I use quite a bit because, you know, I'll go out and do games on streaming services, et cetera, so I do all the prep at home, print out lineup stats, that sort of thing, get ready to go out and do the game. So I use my printer a fair amount. And the printer is very good at reminding me when I'm getting low on ink, and it will even offer, hey, if you want, just click here and we'll send you the ink. It is kind of cool. And I've shopped around a little bit, and the price is pretty fair. So printers will offer that feature where they'll go out and order the ink for themselves, so to speak. You still need a valid credit card, etc. Here's one, Doug, and this gets back to what we brought up earlier about Microsoft wanting people to use Edge or Bing and changing the default settings so it kind of reverts back to Edge sometimes or Bing. Here's one as well. I have, from our text line, by the way, the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line at 651-461-9226. Texter says, I have a nice Chromebook. When I type in a search for, say, Hilton.com, Yahoo comes up with all kinds of other hotel advertisements. I've switched settings in Google being the default search engine, but it seems as though when I work through Yahoo, it still gets in the way.
Well, once you got that browser open to Yahoo, that's kind of the godhead at that point. We're used to just going up to the web address bar and start typing in our searching.
Yeah.
That's really kind of difficult if you're already on a search engine web page. That kind of takes precedence of the page. I have to mention, too, that DuckDuckGo is growing by leaps and bounds every day. And I think people need to do a little bit more research with DuckDuckGo. In Europe, in the UK, and that whole part of the world, that whole part of the globe over there, DuckDuckGo is quickly taking precedence. They're nowhere near the size of Google yet. But I think they're going to get there. I really do. They do a nice job. They do a great job. And their extensions in every browser, if you want, they just works well. They've got a deal now where they can mask your email. It's very, very built on privacy and security. And I think people should take a little time, learn more about DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, and there are a lot of browsers out there that you've talked about. People talk so much about, you know, Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox. We talked about Microsoft mm-hmm. Edge earlier. But there are a lot of good browsers out there. You bring up Brave, and you're a big believer in that. I have not tried Brave yet, but you like that one, Doug, right?
I do. And if you're a fan of Firefox, you should also download and install LibreWolf, LibreWolf. And it's got instructions, and that also has a built-in blocker, and you can use the same extensions that you get from Mozilla. It's a tremendous browser. I love that browser. Now, there's several of them that really go good. Chromium is the open-source version of Chrome, and that's a beautiful browser. Most Linux distributions have a ton of browsers in them that you can download and install right from their software manager, so you don't have to go out on the net and look for them. I agree. I think that bare minimum, every computer should have four browsers. And even if you got a PC, don't be afraid to download and install Safari. It runs great, runs good in Linux, runs good in Windows, FreeBSD. Safari's a good-looking browser. It's fast, it's secure, it does its thing. Have at least four browsers on your computer. Absolutely, at least. And that goes for your smartphone and your tablets as well.
All right, I believe we have some folks waiting on the phone lines, Josh. Let's see if Bob's there. Bob, you're on the air with Doug. It's Tech Talk.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, I have an exterior storage piece for my laptop, and it works fine, other than I've noticed recently, every time I go back into an Excel spreadsheet, for instance, it saves a whole brand new one to this external device. So if I use that spreadsheet once a day for a week, and then I go into the external storage, there I've got seven of them. They're easy to identify what are the oldest ones, but is there a way to not be accumulating? All I want is the latest one there, not a whole week's worth of.
Yeah, these external drives are a great tool. They really are. But a lot of them will come with software that automatically installs as soon as you plug them in. And they are designed, I believe, that software is designed and engineered to absorb disk space. And I like to tell people, listen, use this thing once a week. Don't even plug it in until Friday or Saturday. Use it for a backup. Your working copy should be on your computer. Have it on your C drive. And yours not working with that much work, and even if you got a smaller hard drive, you can certainly keep your day-to-day activities local. And now, once a week, don't forget now, once a week, you plug that baby in on Friday, and you do a copy. And you can copy right over the old files. And I'll say, well, do you want to replace those? Just yes. And at that same time, you will send them up to some kind of a cloud storage. Now you've got a working copy, you've got one off-site in the cloud storage, and you've got your external hard drive. Your external hard drive really should not be plugged in unless it's being used, especially if it's a laptop. Desktop, not so important, but laptops especially, because a lot of these are being powered from the USB port as well, and there's really no reason for that. Like, what you're dealing with is very common. People want to put everything on that external, and really, you should have multiple copies of all of your important data, especially spreadsheets. And I hope that helps, and have a nice weekend.
All right, Bob, quick break. We'll come back. Hopefully, Marsh is hanging in there on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. We'll come back and visit with her. There's still time if you've got a quick text, send it to us. Having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Steve Thames and Doug Swindhart in. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We've had a lot of great calls and texts today, and we want to make sure we get Marsh on the air. Marsh, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Quick question. Microsoft will not allow me to close my email account. It keeps putting me and those who know more about it than I do into a loop. When you click on close account, it goes back to a page we need more information. You can do that all day. It doesn't change. Is there any way I can actually close my email account without contaminating my friend's computer when I do it? I don't have a computer.
Yeah, you know, I think what's happening here, I don't know for sure, but I think you've got a Microsoft account, and that's the only email account you have in there, I think. You're going to want to go and see if you can sign in to Microsoft account, like you're going to buy software. You don't have to buy anything, but get in there and redo your profile. And now, if you got a Gmail account or some other account, if you put it in there, I believe you'll be able to shut off your, and I think what you're trying to get rid of is like MSN or Hotmail or something on that nature.
Yes, Hotmail.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Hotmail.
Okay.
Yeah. You've got a Microsoft account. I can almost guarantee it. You've got a Microsoft account, and it cannot let that email go until you replace that. Now, once you get into that account and you give it a different email, you can shut that first email down completely. Then you can actually go and you can shut down the Microsoft account as well. But I would not be shutting down that Microsoft account until you get that Hotmail account done. This can get real confusing. Most of these companies like to keep you on their books. It just looks good to prospective advertisers and whatnot. And I'll share this with you as well. I haven't been on Facebook for over 20 years. I have over 15 Facebook accounts I've never created. So I know what you're dealing with a little bit, but there's only so much control that you have over there. Best thing is don't use your Hotmail account at all. But you can get that straightened out by attaching to your Microsoft account. I can almost guarantee it. And that doesn't work, give me a call and I'll help you through it. And thank you for the call. Great call.
Yeah, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. Doug, want to squeeze in a couple of more before we run out of time? Old Surface Pro Windows no longer supported. Windows cannot find a driver for network adapter. Now I have no internet. Now what?
Oh, that's tough. And these Surface Pros, some of them you can convert to Linux, some of them you can't. I've also heard, I haven't tried this myself, but I've also heard that Windows 10 Lite and Windows 11 Lite might actually run on these Surface Pros. Now, you're going to be limited as to what you can do with them, but with a Surface Pro, you're probably limited anyway because you have less disk space. But that would be worth checking out. And drivers, you're going to have to find out who manufactured that driver, and hopefully you can go find one on the internet from the past. Your most likely place to find that is going to be in the EU or the UK on the other side of the ocean. Mm. They do a pretty good job of saving drivers over there. So you might have better luck looking there. We kind of seem to be cut off from some of the normal searches and things for like drivers and updating equipment than the rest of the planet. I'm not sure why. It just seems to kind of be that way. And I hope that helps, and good luck.
Boy, that is tough, though. When you've got a working machine and you can't get on the Internet, that is a major bummer. And then a follow-up, we talked to this gentleman about McAfee trying to get him to install it on his desktop. It keeps popping up over and over again. No luck getting rid of it. We don't have a ton of time. Well, we have no time to get into it today, but maybe you can call or email Doug during the week and reach out about that relentless McAfee problem on your computer. Doug, what is your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. Again, 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, very good, Doug. We will do it again in 1 week. We'll likely be on early ahead of the Twins game next Saturday. Shaletta has one more day off, and I'll be in between 11 and 2:30 next Saturday here on News Talk E3OWCCO. Big thanks to our producer, Josh Wheeler. Coming up, following the news and weather at 3 o'clock, June is homeownership month. We'll talk about that. Is it a good time to buy a home? If you know a first-time home buyer, how do you get started? We'll do it following the news and weather.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.